To stand up here once again and look out and see your bright, shining faces. Some not so bright, some not so shiny. But it's a joy to see each one who's in the house of the Lord. I thought about that song, Jesus Saves, altering it just a little bit and stating Jesus still saves. He can save your soul this morning. His ability to save and the amazing of power of His grace is not diminished. In spite of how many have been saved, in spite of how much time has passed since Christ was here, He'll save your soul. See yourself a sinner, repent of your sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. Let's take our Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 14. We do have those who are sick, kept from us. Pray for them. We have those among us standing in need. Remember them, whatever the need might be, that the Lord would bless according to His will. Lord willing, this evening we will be observing the Lord's Supper. So each member is asked to come prepared spiritually for the observance of the Lord's Supper. Romans chapter 14. We'll read verse 1 through 9 for our text. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For rather we live unto the Lord, and rather we die unto the Lord. Rather we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died and rose, and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. We've looked at this passage of Scripture briefly in this series of messages from Sunday morning. Today probably being the last of those thoughts that we're going to be looking at. I don't know, we may be doing kind of a review or a summation of all these messages, trying to make the point that the Lord has given us. Next Sunday we'll see how the Lord works. But we looked in this passage of Scripture previously, considering the fact that God is able. But we didn't look at it in the immediate context. We used it in reference to a point we were making in another message. I want us to look at verse number 4. The fourth verse, and there's three simple things we want to see from verse number 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. three simple things from this verse. First thing we want to notice from verse number 4 is, we have a master. You have a master, I have a master. We have a master. And encouraging these not to judge the weak, he says, God hath received him. Be careful how you judge him who is another man's servant. The context is laying before us that this weaker brother had a master. That master was God. That master was the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul is encouraging the Romans not to be hasty in judging the weaker, because you're not their master. The Lord's their master. And this teaches and this impresses upon us that the Lord is our master. The Lord is our master and Lord. He is the Lord Jesus Christ to us. So we need to be careful about judging one another, because we're not each other's master. We always need to remember that we have a master, and that's God, and that's the Lord. In verse number 5 through 9, it says, one man esteemeth one day above another, and another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord. He that giveth, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. None of us lives unto himself. None of us dieth unto himself. Rather, whether we live unto the Lord, and rather we die unto the Lord. Rather we live, therefore, or die. We are the Lord's. This isn't just saying we do all these things to the honor and glory of the Lord. We do all these things because we are the Lord's. We do all these things because He is our Lord. We do all these things because He is our Master. Rather we live unto the Lord. Rather we die unto the Lord. He is our Master. He is our Lord. Verse number 9. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Christ died, rose, and revived, that he might be the Lord. The Lord of the dead and the living. So we have a master. If you're here and you're saved, you're a child of God, you have a master. I have a master. We have the Lord Jesus Christ over us, and He is our master. We're bought with a price. But it says in verse number 4, second thing we want to see in this verse, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Not only do we have a master, but we stand or we fall before him. Rather we are approved or we fail. Rather we persevere or we are tripped up and fall. We have one that is all before. It's not before each other. We don't rise and fall, stand and fall before any man. But we have a master, and we stand or we fall before him. In verse number 10, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. We have a master, and it is before him that we stand or fall. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that the Lord is their master, that Jesus Christ is the Lord. That's not just lost people. That's not even talking about lost people. Verse 10 is talking about the saved. Every saved person, every single one, shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. Every saved person is going to bow to Jesus Christ. We've been seeing a little bit of that on Wednesday night from the book of Revelation. And in the 12th verse, so then, every one of us, without exception, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. So we have a master. We have a Lord. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. We're bought with a price. He's our master. He's our Lord. We stand or fall before him. That's where our accountability is. We need to ask ourselves, not do we please one another, not do we please so-and-so, or what does this one think of us, or what does that one think about us? What we need to ask ourselves is the Lord pleased? Because he's our master. Is Jesus Christ pleased with our life? For he is the Lord and master of our life. Then in the fourth verse once again, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? We have a master. God has received us. We are his. We stand or fall before that master, before God, before the Lord Jesus Christ. The third thing we want to draw from this fourth verse is we have a master, we shall stand or fall before him, and God is able to make us stand. This has kind of been the underlying point of all these messages. We have committed to him when the Lord saved us these things that we believe he's able to keep until the coming of Jesus Christ. And as we journey through our life from salvation to our being in the presence of Christ, we've been reminded over and over again, he is able. He is able to keep us. He's able to bless us. He's able to hear us. He's able to answer. And today we see God is able to make us stand. God is able to make us stand. Verse 4, the last part of the verse, he shall hold in us up, for God is able to make him stand. The Lord is able to make us stand, and we will stand, because the Lord upholds us. He upholdens us. Look at Psalm chapter 37. Psalm 37. Verse 16 through 18. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. The arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, He shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Two places in that short reading from Psalm 37, we're told, He upholds us. And in our text of that fourth verse, it says, He shall be holding up. He shall be held up. So we have a master. We need to be reminded of that. People get all hung up on their freedoms and their rights. They forget that they have a master. They forget that they're a slave. They forget that they are servants. They forget that they have one who is the Lord over them. And that's Almighty God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be reminded we have a master. And we need to be reminded that we stand or fall, and it should concern us with whether or not we stand or fall before Him. Whether or not He's pleased with our life. Whether or not it's honoring and glorifying unto Him. So we have a master, and we stand or fall before Him. And God is able to make us stand before Him. God is able to make us stand because, first of all, He upholds us. He upholds us. But I want you to go a little further into this thought. When Jesus Christ was 12 years old, He felt the need to be about the Father's business. He got separated from His parents, and they found Him in the temple, teaching the elders. And He was surprised that they didn't know where to find Him, because He needed to be about the Father's business. When He was about 30 years of age, and when He was baptized, a voice came down from heaven, and the voice said, "This is My only begotten Son. This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." In whom I'm well pleased. Sometime after that, on the Mount of Transfiguration, God spoke again. And God said, "This is My only begotten Son. This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Jesus Christ, during the course of His life, bore God's approval. He stood approved before God. Is it possible that you and I, as children of God, is it possible that you and I, who know the Lord Jesus Christ, is it possible that we stand approved before God as Christ did? Obviously, in so many different times, I think it is very possible. And I think that's what the point is being made here. We have a master. It's before Him that we stand or fall. It's before Him that we persevere or fail. God is able to make us stand by upholding us. And God is able to make us stand approved. Approved. You can have God's approval upon your life. You can live your life knowing you have His approval. You can live your life knowing that He looks down from heaven and He says, "That's My beloved Son. That's one of My sons. I am well pleased in him. That's one of My daughters. I am well pleased in her." It is possible and it is desirable that we who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we who have known Him and know Him and have committed unto Him and believe He is able to keep that which we've committed unto Him against that day, it's important that we believe and that we know and we understand that He is able to make us stand approved. He's able. You can live your life with God looking down and giving His approval upon you. I don't know that that happens very often or what percentage of our time on earth we can experience that, but it is possible. Look at the 18th verse of Romans 14. Romans 14, verse 18. For he that in these things serveth Christ, he that in these things serves Christ, he who acknowledges Christ is Lord, he that acknowledges that he has a master, and Jesus is that master, and he that in these things serveth Christ, what's it go on to say in that 18th verse? Is acceptable to God. Amen. Is acceptable to God and approved of men. Look over in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 17 and 18. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved. We're prone to commend ourselves. We're prone to be pleased with ourselves. We're prone to put our stamp of approval upon ourselves and upon our lives. But it's not he that commends himself is approved, but it's whom the Lord commendeth. That's who is approved. That's who is approved. So let us, that glory, glory in the Lord, our Master, our Savior. Let's make sure God commends us. God commends us. God looks down and says, that's my Son in whom I'm well pleased. That's my daughter in whom I am well pleased. The book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, very familiar passage. Probably in the context most directly speaking to ministers, but in the broader sense and understanding of Scripture, we know these truths can be applied to all. And all God's people, I believe, are told, according to 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, study the Word, apply yourself to the Word, be zealous in the Word. Why study? Why apply the Word? Why be zealous in the Word? To show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Our text tells us that we have a master. Our text tells us we stand or fall before Him. Only thing that really matters is whether or not we stand or fall before the Lord. And our text teaches us that God is able to make us stand because He upholds us, and He's able to make us stand approved unto Himself. The question that needs to be asked this morning is not, are you pleased with yourself? Not are you pleasing to some other human being. Not are you pleasing to someone here on this earth. The question that we need to ask ourselves, is the Lord pleased with us? Jesus Christ always did the will of the Father and was always pleasing unto Him. And we know He was God in the flesh and we know He is perfect. But we know in Jesus Christ, all that is said about Him can be applied unto us. We are complete in Christ. But not only can we apply those things to us as they were said of Christ, but God is able to make us stand approved. The Lord is able to make us stand approved. We're able to live our lives pleasing unto the Lord. He's not asking for something that's an impossibility. Though we excuse ourselves and we don't give all the effort we ought to, we need to remember that God is able to make us stand approved. And so the question is, are you pleasing to the Lord? Is the Lord pleased? As God put the stamp of approval upon His only begotten Son, Jesus, does Jesus our Lord put His stamp of approval upon us? The question, as the old song says, that needs to be asked, is the Lord satisfied with us? Is the Lord satisfied with me? We are servants. We have a master. We stand or fall before Him and no one else. And God is able to make us stand because He upholds us. And He's able to make us stand approved. Are we pleasing to the Lord? Do we have His stamp of approval upon our lives? Is your life everything it ought to be? As we prepare to observe the Lord's Supper today, the Bible tells us in the Corinthian letter to examine ourselves. Make sure we don't take of the Lord's Supper unworthily. To confess, to repent, to get right. To make sure the Lord is pleased. Make sure the Lord has His approval, is giving His approval upon us. God help us be ready to come to the table with a clear conscience. May God's approval be upon each one of us who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Let's stand together, have a verse of song to close.